Good evening. Glad to have you with us here as we are going to continue our Live at 5 sermon series here in less than 2 minutes. We are making sure everything is lined up, all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted, as we would like to say. My name is Justin Reed. I'm honored to be the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ. We're located at the base of Short Mountain in Cannon County, Woodbury, Tennessee. We're 6 miles off of US 70 there, and we would be on the left if you're coming from 70. But however you get to us, you would be our honored guest at any and all of our worship, any and all of our meetings together. I'm sharing this live at 5 to the Facebook page for Wood. That way more people can join in our study. I do hope that you've been having a good day. Seems like one of these days I'm going to come on and say that the numbers are going down, but so far they're, well, you probably know what they are, and I'm not here to talk about that. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to ask a simple question. We're going to open God's Word, and we're going to let God's Word answer the question. It's a pretty straightforward question, I would dare say, and friends, it's a question we all must ask in our life and answer and be familiar with the answer. But it seems like people, this time of year, for one reason or another, they want to think about Jesus just a little bit more. Sadly, this is the only time that some people will think of Christ this year. Well, they might think about him at Easter if he's lucky. But I like to capitalize on the fact that people are thinking about Jesus. So let's talk. Not that I don't already talk about Jesus. Let's talk. Is this live at 5? Let's answer a very simple question. Who is Jesus? Our lesson text is found in the first chapter of John, the 18th verse. The Bible says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." You know, in John chapter 1 and the first 18 verses, there's no less than about 42 distinct descriptions who Jesus is. In fact, this would make a great 42-part study. That's almost an entire year if you took them week by week. But tonight, I want us to focus on one, that is in verse 18, when it says that the Father hath declared who the Son is. Now, I want you to notice here what Jesus said to Philip there in John chapter 14, 9 through 11. Now, we're familiar with verse 6, and we'll come back to verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But notice Jesus says to Philip, "Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sawest thou then, or how sayest thou then? Well, then show us the Father. Believest not thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me and doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me," he says, plain and simply, "for the work's sake." See, Jesus Christ is telling, well, if you believe the Father, then you ought to believe me. So if we ask the question then, who is Jesus, that's an indistinguishable question from who is God. And in fact, if we answer who is Jesus, that will help us better understand the question, who is God, simply for the fact that Jesus comes from God, and that Jesus is God. And as I mentioned, in a week where people are wanting to know more about Jesus, and don't get me wrong, I'm thankful every day that he was born in that lowly manger as prophesied, but I'm even more thankful that he died upon the cross. And I'm thankful for the three things that we're going to talk about here in our lesson tonight. Let's ask the question, let God's Word answer, who is Jesus? Well, friends, first and foremost, Jesus is the teacher of truth. He is the one that teaches, conveys truth unto us. I want you to notice this. Now, we're not going to read all of these on this point, but just go here with me. Mark chapter 4, that's a parallel passage there of Luke chapter 8 and also of Matthew chapter 13. That's the parable of the souls, or the parable of the sower, the parable of the grounds. But the Bible says that Jesus taught by the seaside. In the 4th chapter, 31st verse of Luke, the Bible tells us that Jesus taught on the Sabbath day. In fact, Jesus did a lot of his teaching on the Sabbath day. Mark 6 and 2 says he taught in the synagogues. Mark 6 and 6 says he taught about the villages. And Mark 6:34 tells us that Jesus taught many things. Now, when Luke records the model prayer in Luke 11 and verse 1, he taught them how to pray. In Luke 19:47, he says he taught them daily in the temple. Are you familiar with that passage there in John chapter 3 and verse 2, where Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, comes to Jesus by night and says, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that you're doing save except for that God be with him." So we see that Jesus was a teacher. In fact, one might argue the largest portion of the gospel accounts, I'm talking about the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, the book of Luke, and the book of John, the largest portion of these gospel accounts, friends, they're devoted to the teaching of Christ. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew devotes chapters 5, 6, and 7. He devotes 3 out of 28 chapters. What we call the Olivet Discourse, or simply the teachings there in and around Mount Olive, Matthew devotes 2 more chapters. Friends, that's 5 chapters in total, in their entirety, out of Matthew's 28. Or what about that beautiful section in John 13, John 14, John 15, John 16, and John 17, where Jesus Christ is there on the night of his betrayal, and he teaches. He says, me paraphrasing here, "There's some stuff that you don't know yet that you need to know. And I'm going to tell you before it's too late." Friends, Jesus Christ is a teacher. And we need to know that it's equally important not only what he taught, but friends, the fact that some people overlook the fact that Jesus Christ taught. We need to make sure that we are focusing on the fact that he was a teacher and that he taught us things. We see that he taught that teaching, friends, is the foundation of one becoming a Christian. Let's run these references in John chapter 6 and verse 45. He says that to come to God, you must be taught. Well, he's a teacher. John 6, 45. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God." Now, he's referencing Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Micah. "Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." So we see that we must be taught if we want to come to God. Well, friends, he's going to make the argument in the 7th chapter and in the 17th verse that in order for us to do the will of God, friends, once again, we must be taught. Look at this in John chapter 7 and the 17th verse. "If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." He says, if you want to do God's will, then you must be taught. Friends, why must we be taught? Well, Paul would say, "I wouldn't have known what stealing was had not the law taught me." Friends, the same thing applies here. If we want to do God's will, then we've got to know what God's will is. Therefore, we must be taught. But go with me to the very end of the book of Matthew. I feel you might be familiar with this verse. But look there in Matthew 28 and verse 20. because we see as well, to make disciples, friends, we must be taught. He has said, all authority, all power, verse 18, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, verse 19, and teach all nations, baptizing them, or literally, into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Watch this. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And Matthew adds, amen, or let it be so. But we see to make disciples, friends, what does verse 20 start out with? Teaching them. Friends, who is Jesus? He's the teacher of truth. He taught that teaching is the foundation of being a Christian. But let's run these references as well. Go with me to the book of John. All these come from John. Jesus taught God's truth. Well, let's go to John chapter 1, verse 14 and then 17. And the Word was in the beginning, verse 1, was with God, was God. Same was with God in the beginning, verse 2, verse 14. That Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father. Watch this. He's full of grace and truth, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So Jesus, being the master teacher, the teacher of truth, He brings truth. Go with me there to John chapter 4 and verse 24, because Jesus says that God is a spirit. And they that worship Him, who's Him? That's God. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we see that Jesus taught the truth, and He said, if you want to worship God, it's got to be done in the right mindset, and then also according to what God has said. You're familiar, no doubt, with John chapter 8 and verse 32, there where we see true freedom comes from knowing the truth, and ye shall know the truth, Jesus says, and the truth shall set you free. But I want us to notice once again, as we're just going down this list, in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, and no one comes to the Father but by me, or except through me. So Jesus says that He is the truth, and He taught the truth. There in John 17, 17, as He prays that beautiful prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, He says, to sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So not only does He want the disciples to be sanctified or to set apart from the world in the truth, and then He identifies what that truth is, that's the word of God. And notice what His answer is to Pilate. Pilate said to Jesus, art thou a king? John 18, 37, and Jesus answered, thou sayest I'm a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Friends, we see that Jesus Christ, He's the teacher of truth. And if we want to come to God, if we want to be faithful to God, we've got to hear the truth and obey the truth. Hear it, believe it, and obey it. Who is Jesus? The question we ask, the first answer, He's the teacher of truth. Number two tonight, though, is we ask this very simple yet soul important question. Who is Jesus? Friends, Jesus is the warner of danger. Because Jesus Christ warns us concerning sin. Well, let's see what these references say. 2 in John, and we'll just quote that one in Luke. But do note it, though. John 5 and verse 14. Notice what Jesus says. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and said, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, watch this, lest a worse thing come unto thee. What would be that worst thing? Well, Peter describes it where he's saying that those that have obeyed the gospel and then willingly go back into sin, their latter end is worse than those that never obeyed, because those that never obeyed don't know what they're doing, or those that are ignorant, friends, but those that willfully go back, he says something worse could be coming. Well, in my mind, that's Jesus Christ warning about danger. Notice here where he talks about how your sin makes sin your master. John 8, in verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." So sin makes it your master. You serve sin, sin becomes your master. What about that passage there? We'd reference it, Luke 13, verse 3, verse 5 says the same thing. Jesus Christ says, "I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Friends, that's three passages right there. He's warning us concerning sin. We got to repent, repair. Sin makes us our master, and something worse is coming. But Jesus Christ also warns us concerning false teachers. Go with me there to Matthew chapter 7. That's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And he starts out with that attention-grabbing word, beware. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets, which come into you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves." Jesus says, be careful, beware false teachers, because they're going to look good, they're going to act good, they're going to talk good with no good intentions whatsoever. Go with me there on that passage, if you will, to the 13th chapter of the book of Mark. Mark 13, 21 and 22. Jesus says, "And then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not, for false Christ and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." What's Jesus saying? He says there are going to be people that are going to claim to be him. They're going to be false Christs. They're going to come, and they are going to do everything in their power to seduce even the what would we would think to be the unseducible. But look there in that passage in Luke 6. Jesus says, verse 26, "Woe unto you, when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Jesus says, false prophets are nothing new. Jesus says, heed my warning. He is warning that false prophets are coming, friends. He also warns us concerning hell. I've had people say, "You know, Brother Justin, that's great and all that you want to do a lesson on hell, but I just don't think we should talk about hell that much. Heaven's much nicer to talk about." And up to that point, with that one sentence, with that one statement, "Heaven is nicer to talk about," I agree with them. But if anybody ever says to me or to you, we shouldn't talk about hell that much, friends, Jesus Christ talks about hell more than anybody else in the Bible. In fact, Jesus Christ barely mentions heaven in comparison to his teachings on hell. Why? Because he's trying to persuade you not to go there. And so to do that, he's trying to make sure you have everything that you need to be persuaded not to go there. Let's run these references as he warns us concerning hell. He starts out with those who are preaching. Now in this passage, he has dispersed those who are following him. He's dispersed the 12. Notice verse 28. Jesus says, "Fear none of them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell." Friends, Jesus Christ is warning me, and he's warning you, just like he was warning them. We shouldn't fear man the same way we fear God, because God has the ability to put our soul into hell, but mankind does not. Well, let's see what he says to the Pharisees. And you know, if he's speaking to the Pharisees, it's never going to be flattery. Well, in my mind, it never is. Matthew 23 and verse 23 says, "You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" He's been calling them out. In fact, the heading of my Bible, which is not inspired. A man put these headings in here. But pretty spot on in this chapter. Woes upon the Pharisees. Woes upon the Pharisees. Friends, he's calling them snakes. Generation of vipers. I've also had people say, you know, we might ought to say some things a little bit nicer to people. Maybe they'll listen to you more. I say, well, Jesus Christ, I don't think he's sugarcoating it when he calls them a generation of vipers. Let's go out of order here since we're already next to Matthew 25. Go with me that one, then we'll go to Mark. I don't know why I didn't type that that way. Anyways, Matthew 25, 46, the final verse in that passage. Notice his warning. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. He has just finished saying a list of people, qualifications, if you will, of those who are going to heaven and those who are going to hell. And let's also see that even the most precious things, Mark 9, 43 and 44, even the most precious things on this earth, they are not worth an eternity in hell. Watch this. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it's better for thee to enter into life. Now, he means eternal life. Maimed. Rather than having two hands and to go into hell. Where there's a fire that shall never be quenched. Where their worm dieth not. And the fire is not quenched. He says, if your hand, if your left hand is offending you, it'd be better for you to chop the whole thing off and to be crippled in heaven, so to speak, than to go into hell and have both of your hands. Where their worm, you ever notice there, that's possessive, where their worm dieth not? Levels of personal punishment, no doubt, not purgatory like the denominational world and the Catholics say, but a place of everlasting punishment. Friends, who is Jesus? I'll be the first to tell you, Jesus warns of danger concerning sin, false prophets, and there's a danger of hell. Oh, heaven's a prepared place for a prepared people, friends, but hell's a prepared place for an unprepared people. Don't be unprepared. Don't be unprepared. Finally tonight, who is Jesus? Well, let's look biblically. Jesus is the forgiver of sins. His very mission upon this earth was to save people from their sins. Matthew 1, 21. You may have read this passage this week. You may have heard this passage quoted. It will be quoted again, especially on Thursday, Friday, that time frame. The very name of Jesus Christ, Matthew 1, 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. See, that's the whole point. Jesus Christ came into this world. It wasn't to make friends. It wasn't to be voted number one in his class. It was to save his people from their sins. Notice there in Mark 2 and verse 17 where Jesus Christ says, when they heard it, when Jesus heard it, then he says unto them, they that are whole, they that are healthy have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. He says, I came to heal those that are sick, not those that are healthy. What about that passage in Luke 19? I was telling this story to the kindergartner to fifth grades at Boyd Christian School this past week. It's the story of Zacchaeus. But notice what Christ says in Luke 19. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Mankind lost in their sins. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save. And finally, in the longest chapter in the New Testament, Luke 1, 76, 77, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of sins. Talking about the great work that John the Baptist would do, and that preparatory work so Christ could come in and save people from their sins. But Jesus Christ, notice this, he had the authority to forgive sins here on this earth. Go with me, we're going to go in order here. In Matthew chapter 9, you may want to keep your place in Luke, so we will be coming right back. Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 2 through 6. This is paralleled in the 2nd chapter of Mark, where they're going to lower a man down. Matthew 9, beginning in verse 2. Behold, they brought Jesus, a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And then he said to the man sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go to thine house. On this earth, friends, Jesus Christ had the power to forgive the sins of those that needed their sins forgiven. Let's see that passage in Luke 7, 44 following. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but I can't. But this woman, since the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman, she's anointed my feet with oil. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. You may want to just put in your notes, and I don't know why it's not up here. But in John chapter 8, that story where Jesus Christ comes, or has brought a woman that is taken in the act of adultery, and they've broken like 5 or 6 laws here, but that's a different story. He says, Go and sin no more. He forgives her of her sins. Friend, Jesus Christ had authority to forgive sins on this earth and today. Note this. This is the crux of the point. Today, God gives him the authority to forgive sins. Now, we've already mentioned that one in Matthew 28. All authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Let's see John chapter 20, since we're still in John. If you flipped over there just to reference John 8. John 20, verses 22 and 23. And he said, when he'd said this, Jesus breathed on them and said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they remit it unto them. And whosoever sins they are retained, they're retained unto them. See, Jesus has given them, he's passing on, he has the authority. Sins are forgiven by and through Jesus Christ. But he's telling this to his apostles. Matthew 26, 28, For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus Christ shed his blood that my sins could be forgiven. What about that one there at the end of Luke? Luke 24 and verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So they're preaching the repentance and remission of sins in his name. Name means authority, friends. So it's Jesus has been given the authority. Oh, by the way, notice where does it say it's going to begin at Jerusalem? Our final point, our final passage, rather, we're going to reference tonight is the 2nd chapter of Acts and verse 38. It's the day of Pentecost, right at 50 days after the Passover. And guess where they are? Why, they're in Jerusalem. And this is the very first gospel sermon. Peter's portion is recorded, but all apostles are preaching to the millions of people that are in Jerusalem. And notice verse 37, they're pricked in their hearts. They cry out and they say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Friends, who is Jesus? He's the forgiver of sins. His whole mission on this earth was to seek and save the lost while he was here on earth. He had that ability to forgive sins, and I tell you what, today, he's the only one, the only place that we can have our sins forgiven. Who is Jesus? People are asking this time of year. Next time they ask, say, I give you three answers. First, he's the great teacher of truth. Second, he is the warner of danger and the dangers of sin. And then finally, he's the forgiver of sins as well. Isn't that great? He tells you the truth, and then that lets you know everything he's saying is true. By doing that, he's warning you of danger, and he's telling you how to get rid of that danger. Will you acknowledge Jesus for who he is today? Maybe you need to obey the gospel. I would love to assist you with that. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Go down that watery grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ. Please get in contact with me. Probably a private message might be best. But I would love to assist you with that, or I'd love to put you in contact with somebody maybe closer to you. I know good, faithful brethren all over this wonderful world. If you're not living for Christ, you need to repent of those sins, and you need to live a right life for Him. Who is Jesus? Well, now we know. If you would like a copy of these notes, they're available on my website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible Resources. Google my name, Justin, R-E-E-D, Bible. Click on the Bible resource page, sermons. They're alphabetical. I believe this is the last one on there. Very quickly, midweek Bible study in Acts 26. Zealous toward others as we begin the last three chapters of the book of Acts. Lord willing, 6:30 live on Facebook here on Wednesday night. Then also Sunday morning, we will meet back in the building 11 o'clock. Wood Church Christ, 99 Sally Parton Road, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. I believe we're going to talk about the Great Commission. Regardless, the lesson will be founded in God's Word. We will do things according with what God has commanded, and you would be our honored guest. Would you please share this video? Like I said, there are so many people this week who want to know who Jesus is. Maybe we can help shine the light on that for them, and maybe by learning this, they'll want to get their life in order. So please share this. I'd greatly appreciate it. And thank you for studying with us. We will end this lesson the same way that every video in this series has concluded. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Please continue to pray. And thank you for watching.